Hi, listeners. It's Jim Tew here. I'm reading you my September 2023 Bee Culture article that I've entitled My Apiary Ecosystem. Honeybees are only a part of it. There's always going to be something. In my hives or in my life, there's just always going to be something, some issue or some problem. I literally just finished a phone call with one of my adult daughters. She had just eliminated a harmless wolf spider because it frightened her young son, who is also my 9-year-old grandson. A few weeks ago, she had a problem with ants in her kitchen, but now they're gone. Now she has springtails, or calendula, in one of her bath showers. She complained to me that she feels that her home is under constant attack. I tried to tell her that there's always going to be something going awry. Always. Chill out. Listeners, I don't think she listened to me, but I listened to her. Since I've spent my adult life studying honeybees, my daughter assumed that I was also an information source for springtails. I don't know anything about these small flea-sized arthropods, but unintentionally, my daughter set me to thinking and exploring. What do I know about springtails? In all my beekeeping years, I've never been asked or thought about the presence of calendula in beehives. Springtails are common in organic materials that are being degraded. So on a whim, I keyed in a web search on springtails in beehives. And I immediately got hits. All the citations that I found were from observant beekeepers. Having not found any information from academic or regulatory sources, I went to an AI open source app and was given the following undocumented information. Calendula, commonly known as springtails, are small arthropods that belong to the class Calendula. They are found in a wide range of habitats, including soil, leaf litter, and decaying organic matter. While they are not typically associated with beehives, it is possible for springtails to be present in beehives under certain conditions. Springtails are detritivores, meaning that they feed on decaying organic matter and microorganisms. In a beehive, there may be amounts of organic debris, such as pollen, beeswax, and other residue, which could provide a food source for springtails. However, the presence of these animals in a beehive is usually considered to be incidental and not a significant problem for our honeybees. I had no idea that these small animals could occasionally be found in hives, but my conversation with my daughter came at a time that I'd been pondering this very concept. What is routinely found in my beehives and in my apiary other than honeybees? I've never found a comprehensive listing of the life forms that I could expect to find there. My apiary is essentially a distinct ecosystem. My apiary is where I keep bees. But I have long since realized that many other species find that an apiary is home for them too. These unknowns can apparently fall into three broad categories: harmful, beneficial, or neutral. Early in our beekeeping journeys, we're exposed to what I have named the Big List. Some of the common entries on this list are raccoons, skunks, ants, wax moths, small hive beetles, birds, toads, and mice. It's not my intention to discuss these common hive intruders here, yet in the hours and hours that I have either sat by my colonies or pawed through them, I routinely see other species and wonder what they're up to as they bum around my hives. Usually, their presence remains a mystery. Flies. Of course, there are numerous insect species of flies in and around my hives and colonies. I suspect we've all seen them. In fact, the classic book, Honeybee Pest Predators and Diseases, has a designated chapter on various fly species and their effects on honeybee colonies. Essentially, flies and their associated larvae are degraders and generally do not have any harmful effect on honeybees. But I can't help but notice the occasional green bottle fly nosing around my active hives. They are very flighty and will not allow a close camera shot before taking quick flight. Why are they there? I never see them get inside the hive. But there are unique encounters between various Diptera species and honeybees that are rare. A scientist named Anthony published a scientific paper on a black soldier fly infestation in a western honeybee colony. In the article abstract, he reported that black soldier fly larvae were discovered in a weak honeybee colony in Haley, Idaho. The larvae were localized to the brood area and caused the affected comb to putrefy. Further communication with the beekeeper revealed that the colony recently returned from California and that the larvae likely originated there as well. In California, these soldier flies are common and exist sympatrically with honeybees, yet there have been very few reports of damage. We therefore believe that these soldier flies are unlikely to cause damage to healthy colonies or significantly impact the apiculture industry. This report is the first published observation of this insect in Idaho and shows conclusively for the first time that these soldier flies associate with honeybee colonies in North America. So there's that. There are distinct Diptera species that are either outright harmful to bees or other flies that are considered to be minor pests. Example of the damaging species are the forid flies, sometimes called zombie flies, while the lesser pest is the bee louse, the Brallus cica. These pests are documented elsewhere in the beekeeping literature, so I will not cover them here. Earwigs. Just how bad can earwigs be? In Alabama, earwigs are commonly found in beehives, actually in significant numbers. No doubt they're found in other states as well. I have noted that earwigs for years were not common in my hives here in Ohio, but that changed just a few years ago. I now have earwigs in my office, in my home, and in my beehives. I don't know if they do anything within the hive. I faintly remember one Russian paper that reported that earwigs could be alternate host for the bacteria causing European fowl brood. Other than that one point, I have never heard complaints about them. Of course, they do become a pain when extracting, and they must be caught in the honey filter when processing honey. I must say that straining bees and bee parts from honey is bad enough, but earwigs in the honey filter are unsightly. I don't know of anything you can do about them. In fact, as I think about it, I'm not sure there's anything that you should do about them. Roaches. As an entomologist, I respect roaches. They are the consummate survivor. Obnoxious that they are to humans, one must respect their persistence. Many, many developmental years ago, roaches learned my wording to fold their wings over their bodies so they could exploit more niches than, say, broad-winged insects like dragonflies. Just so you know, dragonflies will also occasionally prey on honeybees, listeners. By storing their folded wings over their bodies, cockroaches could more easily get under places like your refrigerator or inside your beehives. They have been a challenge for me everywhere I've ever kept bees. Like so many other insect visitors/invaders, roaches are drawn to the sweet food supply as well as protein supplies. And then there's all the decaying larvae and adult bees to munch on. So the question is begged, why would roaches not be in our hives and stored equipment? It's a perfect place for them. In the beekeeping literature, it's often written that the damage roaches do is minimal, but I want to loudly say that the appearance of just a single roach in your honey house can dissuade even the staunchest customer who's considering buying your honey. And then there's the excreta to consider. In fact, one of my most serious concerns of both cockroaches and earwigs is the excrement that they leave behind. It can also be written that cockroaches are primarily found in weakened or otherwise ailing colonies, and yes, that's surely true. But I would loudly say that great numbers of roaches happily live on the inner cover of populous colonies. When I remove that outer cover, in a flash, they scamper down into the bees. In my opinion, there's little to be done to control a roach infestation. Protecting the customer and protecting the purity of the honey product is about all that can be done. Yet I cannot conclusively say that a modest cockroach infestation is absolutely harmful to my bees. Maybe future studies will continue to add information to this colony cohabitant. And then there's honeybee cousins, like yellow jackets. Though yellow jackets are on my big list and are common pests in the bee yard, I've included them here on my specialty list. In my yards, these brightly colored insects could almost be a traditional resident of my apiary. So I've included them here due to technicalities. Yellow jackets, and I give the genus and species name here in the article, yellow jackets readily see their honeybee cousins as potential food supplies. On occasion, these wasps may have a nest in or near my apiary, but much more likely that these hymenopterous insects are simply foraging within my apiary. Experienced beekeepers have seen yellow jackets mulling around the detritus at the hive entrance, but they will also enter a weakened colony and take honey, pollen, brood, and adults, depending on their own colony needs. As such, yellow jackets get an entry on the common list of bee colony pests, but they don't seem to be the effective cause of the colony's decline, but are more commonly responding to a colony that's been weakened by other factors. I should say that yellow jackets can really be numerous when robbing behavior is rampant. They're right in the thick of all that robbing activity. Bumblebees. I frequently see bumblebees trying to enter a honeybee colony, and I have to ask, how suicidal is that? Only on a few occasions have I stumbled into a bumblebee nest in unused honeybee equipment, but they are frequently in my apiary, and they're surely searching for food. In fact, bumblebees may not necessarily be attracted to my honeybee colony specifically, but they may be drawn to certain characteristics or resources associated with my honeybee colonies. I can come up with a few reasons that may explain why they're sometimes found near my beehives. Number one, floral sources. Honeybee colonies are known to forage on a wide variety of flowering plants to collect nectar and pollen. Bumblebees, like honeybees, are also generalist foragers and seek out similar floral resources. Number two, odor cues. Honeybee colonies emit a combination of pheromones and odors that can be detected by other bees, certainly including bumblebees. These chemical signs may serve as attractants, potentially drawing bumblebees to the entrance of some of my honeybee colonies. And number three, nesting opportunities. While honeybees typically nest in enclosed structures such as beehives or tree cavities, bumblebees often create nests in the ground or other protected locations. However, bumblebees may occasionally take advantage of an abandoned honeybee hive or other suitable cavity near a honeybee colony, which could lead to their continued visitations in the area. It's important to note that the interactions between bumblebees and honeybees can vary depending on the specific circumstances and the behavior of individual bees. While they may coexist peacefully in some cases, competition for limited resources like nectar or nesting sites can also occur. Listeners, if you've sweated through this, you must be wondering what my point is for going through this. Here it is. The apiary is an active place, but not only for honeybees. Many other common and not so common insects and animals hang around the bee yard foraging for food or shelter. You and I take a staunch view of these unwanted visitors, but truthfully, we don't know a lot about the complex interaction between all of these other species and our honeybees. For instance, Dewey Caron listed more than 15 different beetle species that could be found in beehives, usually in the bottom board litter. Most beetle species had no ill effect on our bees, but I can't help but wonder if some of those species could be beneficial to our honeybees. Currently, no one seems to know for sure. In this article, I've only tinkered with a few of the species that we can see with our unaided eyes. I made no effort to review the microscopic visitors. Examples would be protozoan, fungi, and nematodes. They're all there too. Readers, I sense that I'm describing a beehive supermarket or maybe a big box store for insects. Not wanting to just go crazy here, but it appears to me that the apiary is a significant food and shelter resource for a lot of other insects and animals. As beekeepers, we laud the effectiveness of the worker's defensive stinger, but this protective device does not seem to be very effective against spiders, earwigs, birds, or some kind of errant fungus particle. I'm guessing that out of simple necessity, bees coexist with many of these interlopers. Hive visitors come in so many different sizes and represent so many different species. A beehive just can't stay on high alert all the time. Despite everything that the bees and their keepers do, the apiary will seemingly continue to be an attractive site for non-bee species. In this article, I'm trying to ask, from a diversified ecological position, is this necessarily a bad thing? Consider how many other species are being subsidized, nurtured by the resources of our apiaries. Could it be said that our beehives are community centers for a host of non-apis species? I think so. Hey, blame my daughter. She got me started on this with that Calimbula question. Readers, I didn't go into this in the article. There just simply wasn't space. But I kept thinking about beavers and how they construct ponds, and they do this to build their own home. But beavers are noted for building ecosystems themselves. So by building that pond, they made a home site for fish and for frogs and for aquatic birds and for aquatic plants. I mean, they built and completely changed an environmental system. And it seems to me, right or wrong, that in a similar but different way, when a honeybee nest is built, it's just a junior version of that. And that we should expect, and I'm asking, should we even encourage the diversity of these other insect species that these honeybee colonies attract in exactly the same way that other animal species are attracted to the ponds and lakes that beavers build? As usual, I don't know. I'm just thinking and wondering. But I do thank you for reading and thinking. And I look forward to talking to you next month about something similar, but it'll be different. Thank you. Jim telling you bye.